You know, oneness today is a tall order, isn't it? Especially when division and polarization just kind of seem to be the norm. It may be that our differences are more pronounced, or maybe people really are drifting further apart than we've ever been before, but it seems that there are so many differences today. And that is very evident in a cycle that we see in our world today, in our nation today, in our generation today. Among people, we find that there are differences, and those differences lead to disputes, and those disputes then lead to division. And we find that these things are happening over and over and over and over again. And our tendency is to divide over differences. But really, think about it. That's nothing new. Paul's letters to the churches oftentimes talk about divisions in the church. And they teach that he is interested in and wants unity. Every letter Paul writes speaks at some level to the topic of unity. But here's the challenge to the church. Despite the pull to be divided, we as the church are to remain united. We as the church are to remain as one. And so I want to propose to you a different cycle. Not that cycle that we see so often today of differences that lead to disputes that lead to division. But a cycle that we learn about actually here in Ephesians chapter 4, which is our text for this series that we're doing. We've just titled it One. And here's what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Last week when we gathered together, Stephen brought our message and taught us about shared calling. That we stand together in this shared calling as the people of God, as the children of God. And we have a common mission as the church. And that mission is to be the medium through which God delivers a message of hope to the world. That we are God's messengers. We are the ones that take the message that God has for the world today, and we are His ambassadors, bringing that message to a world that needs to hear. And that is the calling that we have received as the church. And the only way that we are going to fulfill that calling as the church is if we stand united as one. Because one of the things that we oftentimes hear from the world is that the church is just full of a bunch of people that can't get along anyway. And so we have given them an excuse not to even listen. But Paul says, just as Jesus prayed, that we should be one. He says that being one is necessary to fulfill the calling that Jesus has given us. As a matter of fact, the mission depends on our ability to be one. And so this morning, we're going to take the next step in the thought process. Beyond the realization that we have a shared calling, we are going to talk about this one love, this shared love that we have together. And so this morning, we're going to talk about how to put that shared love into action by looking at being humble and gentle and bearing one another in love and keeping the unity of the Spirit together. So I want you to start with me and let's kind of walk down this path a little bit as we think about how we can stand and be one. One of the things that we have to do and realize is that we need to be completely humble and gentle. And if we're going to be completely humble and gentle, that takes some humility and it takes some vulnerability. Think about those two words. Those are two words that we do not hear a whole lot about anymore today, do we? Humility and vulnerability. But listen to what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, where he brings up this same idea and this same subject again, writing to a different group of people. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 2 of Philippians. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. When you read that, and you think about those two words of humility and vulnerability, all of a sudden those two words just jump out at you from the story of Jesus. He was both humble and He was vulnerable. Think about that. God Himself coming to earth. Nothing could be more humble than that. God, the God creator with all powers and all abilities and everything you can imagine, set them aside. That's vulnerability. Christ our Savior emptied Himself, humbled Himself, denied Himself. Why? Because He was seeking oneness. He was seeking unity. He was looking for a way to bring us together as well as bring us back to the Father. And He knew that the only way that those two things could happen is if He humbled Himself and came to earth as a man and became vulnerable, leaving aside all of those things that He knew in heaven itself. Jesus moved toward us. He closed the distance between Himself and us. He didn't say to us, "Hey, all of you, come over here where I am, and then we can be one and we can be united." What did He do? Jesus moved toward us. And He said, "I want to be united and one with you." And so He moved toward us. Unity begins with humility and vulnerability. You know, humility is an interesting word. It actually means that we have to stop making judgments from a distance. We have to stop looking at things from a distance and we have to look closer. Some of you probably don't know this, but we're trying our best to keep Stella awake tonight, today. Stella went to the UK game yesterday. She didn't get home until late last night. But you know, the first person here this morning was Stella. Now, they had tickets to the game, but the tickets were up in the nosebleed section. You know where that is, don't you? Up about as high as you can get. And knowing Stella, I'm sure when the ref made some of those calls yesterday, she was up there telling the ref what he should have known when he made those calls, right? In other words, she didn't agree with what the ref said. Isn't it amazing how well you can see when you're sitting way up here? I mean, it is just amazing what you can see when you're in the nosebleed section. Compared to those refs that are right down there on the floor, right next to the player, looking at them in the eye. You know, sometimes we do the same thing, don't we? We stand way back here and we begin to say things and make judgments and look at people and say, "What are you doing?" What do we need to be doing? We need to get close to them. We need to be united with them. Who do you think really saw that call? Stella or the ref? Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Who do you think was accurate in the call? Stella or the ref? You see? Why? They're right there. Who do you think really knows those players? Those coaches know those players. The players know each other. Why? Because they are right there together every day. They see each other. They work with each other. They are together. They are united. If you really want to know somebody, you have to get close to them. Close enough to see and be seen. And that's really the challenge. The challenge from Bren Brown is this. You can't hate people up close. So move in. You can't hate people if you're close to them. If you really get to know them, so move in close to them. Most of you are probably familiar with Chip and Joanna Gaines, right? Now let me tell you something about Gail. If you want to sell anything to Gail, it doesn't make any difference what it is. Put a picture of Chip and Joanna Gaines on the front and she will buy it. If it's a magazine, as you go through the checkout counter, she'll buy it. If it's a book in the bookstore, she'll buy it. If it's probably a mug with their picture on it, she would buy that too. Gail will buy anything that has Chip and Joanna Gaines on the front of it because she just loves them, and I do too, quite frankly. If you're not familiar with them, Chip and Joanna Gaines have been on television, just a great Christian couple. They do rehabs of houses and those kinds of things. They live in Waco, Texas. Recently, along with many other things that they do, they bought a restaurant. And when they bought that restaurant that they bought, or that cafe, was actually named the Elite Cafe. And the mantra that the owners actually said was, "This is where the elite come to eat." And Chip and Joanna Gaines had a totally different approach when they bought this. And here's what they said. They said, "To us, the word elite speaks of separation and divide. Us and them. The haves and the have-nots." And they went on to say, "I've talked about the dining table as being a place where enemies are lost and friendships are forged, where people really hear each other out. Magnolia Table is our symbolic offering to that cause. We hope it becomes a place where people come to the community table, enjoy great food, actually talk with strangers beside them, where instead of worrying about differences, they find those precious similarities. Ultimately, we really aren't so different from one another. After all, if I could get back to remembering that, then I think there is some real hope for us yet." You know, that's true, isn't it? Instead of being the elite and trying to separate, let's come back together as one, as people, all of us, as we learned Wednesday night in the prodigal son, in need of a father and his open arms and acceptance when we come home as sinners. If we truly want to understand each other better, we have to seek the humility and vulnerability of being face to face. Move to where we can see and where we can be seen. Move to where we are close with each other. And we must pray a prayer very similar to the prayer that Jesus prayed. God, help us to see others through their eyes. Bring us together as one, even as you are one. Approaching our differences with humility and vulnerability. Think about this. And we learn a great example from Chip and Joanna Gaines in this. True connection begins with open conversation. And open conversation is only possible when there is humility and we are willing to be vulnerable with each other. You see, in that, there's a sense of trust, isn't there? There's a sense of trusting the people with whom we are being humble. And we are showing our vulnerabilities. So this prayer that Jesus prays, a prayer for unity, applies to us when we love each other, especially as we come together and we are humble and vulnerable with each other. But there's another step that you see in these verses that we read. And the next part of the cycle is to bear with one another in love. That means we recognize weaknesses and we show mercy and love. The Greek word for bearing refers to restraining ourselves out of mercy. It refers to bearing means that we restrain because we care about, we love the person. We are really good sometimes, have you noticed this, at spotting weaknesses and faults in other people. We are really good at looking around and seeing all the things they are doing wrong. all the things that they should be doing better, all the things in their life that they're messing up. We are good at looking at that, but let me ask you, are we good at caring enough to help one another, to help each other out, to bear with one another, recognizing, yes, there are weaknesses. Yes, there are places where we aren't strong, all of us. There are places where we need help. Are we willing to bear with one another? Resisting the urge to expose and exploit one another's weaknesses, but to expel one another because of differences. Rather, we need to extend our hand in help and encouragement and being there. I'm reminded of the story of Jesus and his interaction with the woman caught in adultery. Remember the story? The Pharisees catch this woman caught in adultery and they bring her to Jesus, and they're trying to trap Jesus a little bit. And the Pharisees sought to expose her and expose the event and then to actually expel her, to get her out, to get rid of her. But what did Jesus do? What was his approach? He extended his hand to her. Bearing with one another is taking on a new heart posture toward people. And Paul urges the same thing. Here's what he says in Colossians chapter 3. Again, another one of these books that Paul wrote to a different group of people, but the same theme. Here's what he says. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so that you also must forgive. That's why we have always wanted to make this place, to make LifeBridge, a grace-filled place. It's interesting, Stephen and I were talking a few weeks back, and we were talking about, obviously, Axis Church in Mason, and then we're talking about LifeBridge here in Middletown. And of course, it was in 2005 that we started LifeBridge, really from nothing, a few people, a handful of people we started. And then it was 10 years ago that Stephen really did the same thing with Axis. Started with a group of people, but really nothing other than that, and began Axis Christian Church. And we were talking about some of the basis for starting, some of our mindset when we were doing these two things. And one of the things that you've heard me say that I told him, I said, you know, one of the things that I always wanted for LifeBridge was a place where you didn't have to wear a mask. A lot of churches, when you come in on Sundays, you feel like you have to put your mask on. Your mask that says, everything's okay, life is good with me, it's all super, it's all fine. You know, there are no problems in my family, there are no problems at my job, I'm good, you know, health-wise, I'm great. You kind of put on your mask, you put on your smile, and you come in and you laugh and you talk to each other and all of that, and then you walk out the door, you get in your car, and what's the first thing you do? You kind of take the mask off and set it beside you again. And life really begins again. Until next Sunday morning, when you start coming back to church again, you reach over in the seat beside you, and all of a sudden you put the mask on and you walk in and everything's fine for the next 2 hours. And one of the things that I wanted was a place where we could come together, and if things are good, that's great. If things are not so hot, it's okay that you say that too, and you even look that way. It's okay if things aren't great, because part of what we're here together to do is encourage each other. And it was interesting, as I was talking to Stephen about that, he said, you know, that's exactly what we were doing when we started Axis. His phrase was a little different. I was going no mask. His phrase was, come as you are. That one of the things that was high on the priority list when they started Axis is, come as you are. It doesn't make any difference who you are. It doesn't make any difference what you look like. It doesn't make any difference what you dress like. It doesn't make any difference where you've been. It doesn't make any difference where you are today. Just come. Come as you are. Because all of us standing before the throne of God and before the cross, we are all exactly the same. We are sinners in need of a Savior and in need of forgiveness. There's no difference. And as we began talking about some of those kinds of things, and this does not surprise me at all, but over and over and over and over again, there were things that came up in the thought processes of beginning and then going through the years that were exactly the same and exactly the same approach in what we were doing. You know, that only happens when individuals around the room are grace-filled people. See, we as a church could not be a place where you didn't have to put the mask on if we were not a church filled with grace-filled people. People who understand what it means to go through some tough times. People who understand what it means to need encouragement and to help. We need to bear with one another, strive alongside one another, elevate one another. Matter of fact, there's another book that Paul wrote. It's the book of Romans. He wrote this book to Christians in Rome. And he says in this book to bear with one another. Let me just read you a portion of this in Romans chapter 12. He says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." You see, he's saying the same thing. Stand together in unity. Be humble. Be vulnerable. But bear with one another in love. How many of you remember Mr. Rogers? Remember Mr. Rogers on television? I was watching a documentary about Mr. Rogers recently. You know, he built his entire life's work on the biblical principle of loving your neighbors as yourself. He believed that instilling that value in kids could literally change the world. And so he was constantly teaching in different ways that value of love your neighbor as yourself. If only people understood that they were worthy of love, and then they were willing to spread it. He said this one time. He said, "There is something of yourself that you leave at every meeting with another person. And may that something be mercy. May that something be the love of Jesus. If humility is a new way of perceiving mercy, is a new act of relating and responding. You know, unity and deeper connections are then going to be the result. And so as we go through life, let's live by that principle of leave something of yourself and leave it better than it was. Leave the person better than they were when you came in." And that leads us to the third thing that we're going to pick up on in these verses that we read from Ephesians. And the third thing is make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. In other words, there is a unity and a community. You know, growing up in our house with a sister and two other brothers, one of the things that mom and dad constantly had to do was they had to maintain unity. And there were some times where the unity was stretched a little bit, if you know what I mean. When you have three boys and a girl growing up in the same household with a mom and a dad, there are times where you're probably not going to see eye to eye. Agreed? You can shake your head this way. There were times where one of their primary responsibilities as parents was to keep unity between the four kids. But you know what? The bottom line is that when we came back together, we were always united. We always came back together because we were family. We may have been upset with each other a little bit, but by the time we sat down to eat in the evening, guess what? It was all over with. It was done. We always would stick together. Why? Because we were always family, and that's what families do. That's true in the church too, isn't it? You know, there's some times we may not agree 100% on everything. There's some times we may look at some things from a different perspective. There's some times where we look and go, you know, I wish we hadn't done this or that or whatever it was. But you know what? We always come back together in unity because that's what the church does. We are a unified family. When the church began in Acts chapter 2, you read the story about the coming of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 people being baptized and the church beginning. But toward the end of that chapter, in Acts chapter 2, I want you to listen to what Luke wrote about the things that were going on in the church. He said, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You see, you stick together because that's what families do. You give to one another because that's what families do. We spend time together because that's what families do. We praise God together because that's what families do. And we have oftentimes referred to ourselves as a family. You become a part of our family when you become a part of the church. And we link arms and we carry out God's mission together because that's what we are called to do. To stand as one, to be united. And we do this as we continue to see this new cycle of work going on and the work continuing and things growing and expanding. We have the humility and the vulnerability. We show the mercy and the love of God. And we stand united in community as we work and we serve Him. You see, that's what we do as the church. We stand united. And that's the reason we're thinking about and talking about this whole thing about being one. Realizing that the church is much bigger than we are. That we are a part of it and we stand together as one with those believers, with the followers of God. Last Wednesday night, Pramod and Ranjana were here. And they come on Wednesdays every so often. And one of the things I always enjoy is they bring us up to date on the things that are happening in India and the things that they've been experiencing when they were there. They were telling us about baptisms and some other things that were going on. And we were all happy together. We rejoiced together. Why? Because the family of God is universal. It's worldwide. That's what we listened to when we listened to J.I. Packard as we started this morning. He talked about no matter where you go in the world, as soon as somebody finds out you're a Christian, guess what? There's a whole different atmosphere. All of a sudden you stand together as one. So one of the things I want to encourage you to do for the rest of this month is that you will spend some time praying for oneness. Just as Paul talked about oneness, just as Jesus prayed for oneness in the Gospel of John. Pray for oneness. Maybe at 1 o'clock every day is a good time. Just stop for just a moment and pray that the church will be one, that we will come close together. You know, it's easy in the midst of change to look at the change itself. It's even easier to let the change divide us. But that's not what the Lord wants. It's easy to look at things that are different and to say, that's not my personal preference or that's not what I want. It's easy to let those things separate us. But that's not what the words of Paul encourage us to do. Let's remember that we are the same family. We are the body of Christ. And we stand together before Him. I want you to stand up for a minute. We're going to do something a little different. I want you just to kind of close in the aisles and hold the hand of the person next to you. So just kind of, stand up, close the aisles, and just hold the hand of the person next to you just real quick. Jump in there someplace if you want to and just hold their hands. You know, as you look around, this is the body of Christ that meets in this place. And we stand as one body before Him. But the body is much bigger than this. The body is worldwide. The body of Christ, the body of the church, is much bigger than who we are. We're just a part of it. But we want the body to grow even bigger than this. Why don't you close your eyes for a minute? And just take just a second in the quietness and in your own prayer. Pray for unity. Pray that we will be one. Pray that the church universally can and will stand as one so that those who are not yet a part of the family can become a part of the family. Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the bond that he brings into our lives. First of all, he brings a bond between us and you. There was a bridge that was there that we could not cross, and the bridge was brought about by sin. But Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection and the perfect sacrifice bridged that gap that was there, that chasm that was there. And he bridged it so that we could come back together to you. And so there is unity between us and you. In doing that, he also provided a family for us, a family that we can be a part of, a family that stands together, a family that works together, a family that bears each other's burdens. Even in times of weakness, we hold each other up. And help us to stand in unity before you, stand as one. And help us to be wise in our lives and what we do, so that others that look at us will see you. And we know that as they see you and as we stand together, that the kingdom will grow, the church will grow, and great things will happen for you. Thank you for this body of believers, for this group of people that gather together and work and serve you here. But also help us to look way beyond who we are. Look way beyond our desires and our wants and our needs, to see the needs of people who have not yet met you, who do not yet know Christ, and to see how we can reach and minister to those people. And Lord, help us as we prepare for some change, we prepare for some transition, to look beyond who we are and to see the unity that you bring in the bond of peace through Christ Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Hey, thank you for being here this morning. We're going to dismiss you here in just a second, but thanks for coming and sharing. Hopefully we've been encouraged this morning as we've talked about how to stand together and how to follow the Lord and how to do the things that he wants us to do, to stand as one, to be united, and to carry out the goal that he's given us. Next Saturday, if you can come and join us next Saturday, 9 o'clock. We'll work for 3 hours or so, so if you've got some time to do that, we'd love to have you. I hope you have a great week this week. Thank you for being here and for being on time this morning on Time Change Sunday. Have a good week.